I'm happy here to fill in for Dave. He's down in Washington, I guess, taking the kids down there, I guess. So he's down on Memorial Day, which is a good weekend to introduce the kids to how our government works and how things should work, I should say. I'm sure Dave will be instructing what is and what is not down there, knowing Dave. But I know this weekend's Memorial Day, so I tried to get something up that would coincide with that. It kind of does, so we'll try to work it into that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. I just want to use this as a start, a launch-off verse, and then we'll work into the topic I have. And the topic is identity confusion in today's society. There's an identity confusion. And as we look at this, Paul has a certain approach he takes into dealing with this type of thing. We'll talk more about that identity confusion we have today. But in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again that we can come here and we can talk about issues that are troubling, and that we know that there are answers here, that through the Apostle Paul and his life and his approach by your revelation, that we can answer these questions and find solutions to these things. In our Lord and Savior's name we pray. Amen. Now, as I said before, my topic is identity confusion. And why I'm saying that, if you know me, I'm a news junkie. So I watch all the political stuff, the wranglings, and I try to keep on that as much as I can. And one thing I've noticed, I'm not pulling party lines here tonight. You probably figured out by the time we're done here, but I know on both sides, both Democratic and Republican party lines, that there seems to be a pull on who we are as a country. You can think of the issues on either side, and I'm not going to say I specifically agree with one side completely, but we look at the Democratic side, that we're pulling a new identity for America. The Republican is also trying to pull an identity, who we should represent as a country. And I look at this verse that Paul talks about. We often teach that scriptures, we should keep spiritual things and political things separate. And Paul never did. Paul dealt with social. He dealt with physical. He dealt with political issues clear through his career as an apostle. And he dealt with them in one manner. And it was this verse here in 1 Corinthians 2 that I thought of. It says, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." When he approached problems in any assembly, he approached them with the fact that I'm not going to deal specifically with a problem. I'm going to deal with the solution to your problem. And as with Ed was talking about in chapter 5, probably one of the hardest passages to teach about fornication, he talked about teaching about the problem here in the name of Jesus Christ, in His doctrine and in His Spirit. And he dealt with that whole issue in that chapter based upon information that Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. So the political problems today are spiritual nature. There is a moral, there is a responsibility breakdown in our country that we're facing. And I'm going to try to answer some of that today. In time past, America represented life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they were all based upon doctrine. Our forefathers were men of faith. Now, we might not agree to some of the stuff they talk about, but life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness is something that we get through Jesus Christ. We get life, we get liberty, and we get happiness out of that. And I think they were the basic core elements that our forefathers placed into our Constitution. But there seems to be a struggle between that concerning our responsibility to those three characteristics that our forefathers put in and our moral responsibility to them. And I think that's what's really breaking down in our society today, that the moral and responsibility to these things. We kind of take responsibility, just sort of threw it out the window, let caution, whatever, you know, and our moral responsibility declines the more we pull away from the things of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the main problem here. We also hear, do you ever hear of the term, we need a more diverse society? That's a big term now. We need diversity. All our college campuses, if anybody, I don't know if anybody listened to these tapes online, but I'll probably get hate mail for this. And if it was, I was in California, I guarantee it I would be. But the diversity programs that are out there, that we need to be more diverse in our thinking about people's feelings, about what their gender is, about all different kinds of things. Whether we're black or white, we pay attention to all that. And the diversity, it seems to be the going trend. We sort of reject what God has planned for society and for mankind, forget what He's done, and just let society figure out who you are. And that's another problem in here. We have racism issues. This is all part of the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They all claim that. But remember, they push aside moral character and responsibility. In racism, it also exists. There is a history in our country with racism. We can't deny that. But it seems the more that we begin to draw laws, draw conclusions on who we are, racism seems to divide even more. So we begin looking at black and white, not American, immigration. We just look at these things, and the divide gets deeper. The canyon begins to really widen on these issues. And you ever notice in the issue of racism, there is groups that pop up that study your ancestry. And it says, let's get back to your lineage. Let's get back to find out who you are. And somehow that's going to bring groups together. And it doesn't. It just widens the gap. Paul talks about lineage, the problems with lineage in Scripture. We're not going to get into all that. But there's some of the problems our country is facing and issues. And what I want to do this morning is I want to get into Scripture, and these issues are not new. These are old. These issues go way back in Scripture. Paul deals with these. You think about Paul's ministry. He comes right into a ministry, a mystery program that was not revealed until revealed to him. And it was in a midst of a strong relationship with the nation Israel and Jesus and God, and supposed to be Jesus Christ. And there was a separation between Jew and Gentile. There was political, social, and physical differences. And matter of fact, some of the passage, what are Gentiles called? Dogs. Wow, was that politically incorrect or not at the time? I mean, how do you think the Gentile world reflected on that? That was not an easy thing even at that time. So those kind of things were being said then. Now, matter of fact, the term Christian, that was a slang from the Jewish nation to the new followers of Jesus Christ, those Christians. So the slangs were being thrown even at that time. Now look at Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, we're going to look at some of these things, and we're going to show that this stuff is not new at all. And Paul gave some good answers. Like I said, he didn't want to know anything among them except Christ and Him crucified. He knew that very issue of Jesus Christ was going to answer to the problem to all the social, racial, and physical problems of that time. And it's still the answer today. And it's interesting that today, what is the one faith that it's attacked the most? Christianity. And it's the one that has the answer. Now, a lot of in Christendom today, they probably wouldn't understand this answer until right division comes into play. But the answer's here. And Paul answered it, and he ironed out a lot of that stuff in his time. Now, I sit here in Ephesians 2, verse 11. He tells the church of Ephesus, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." So what is he focusing on here in this verse? The flesh. All these questions that I've been asking you about, racism, diversity, moral responsibility. They're all issues concerning the flesh that we face today. Same here. He says, "In time past, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the flesh made by hands." So he's looking at the flesh, one group calling one group something else. Verse 12, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens," there's that word, "aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So there was social, physical, and spiritual differences in Paul's time. They're all represented in this group. And they're called aliens, they're called uncircumcision, and if you study further, they're called dogs. Nothing's changed. Nothing new under the sun, is there? Nothing new under the sun here. Look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6. The book of Galatians riddled with it. In Galatians 6, look at verse 12. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer the persecution of the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire that ye may be circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." He says to make a fair show in the flesh. They're open, they're frank, they're open frankly. They're clearly demonstrating that they're superior. Isn't that a lot of part of the racism today? One group claiming to be superior, not oriented to diversity, that we're superior thinkers on humanity. Stuff's going on here too in Paul's time. And Paul had to deal with this, especially when there's supposed to be unity in Christ. So he has to deal with this. Look at verse 15. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace on them, mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For in Christ Jesus, neither anything are important." The issue, once again, "I want to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified." So Paul begins to answer some of these. Go back to chapter 2 of Galatians. In chapter 2, now you talk about leadership today, the fighting in leadership. Like in Congress we have, two-party line here fighting. There was leadership here. Your spiritual leadership here. Look at verse 2. "And I went up by revelation to communicate unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, in that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage." So he says Titus, who was a Greek, was compelled, he was forced, he was obligated to do something that somebody else does. Man, does that sound familiar? I mean, that's all what's going on today in our political world. We're forcing one another, lawsuits, things going on here to make things work. And our government today, I'm not being a killjoy, but our government today is floundering. It is struggling to get its identity of who we are as a country. A country that pursues life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A country that had forefathers that had problems, but understood that Scripture is the answer to all their problems. That's how our democracy has been built upon Scripture. Whether people like it or not, it's what it has been. But the same in Paul's time, he's facing spiritual leadership. He's facing social issues, physical issues. And he's trying to draw them in, trying to make them understand what's going on. Now, in chapter 5 of Romans, chapter 5 and chapter 6 became, to me, is more relevant today than it ever has been in any time in my history. I'm sure in Paul's time, it was a breakthrough revelation. It was something that people were just bowled over by. Because remember the time frame that he was in. We just showed that he had social, physical, and political problems going on in his ministry. He was facing great things. And it was fresh out of Judaism that was still running full speed into a new revelation dealing with uncircumcised aliens that were considered dogs and placed into a spiritual entity in Christ. And Paul's teaching this. Just imagine the clash then. You think we have it bad now. People were literally dying over this stuff. The situation was harsh. But Paul begins to attack this in Romans. And it is not that, you know, all these programs that we have today are essentially bad. Being diverse is not a bad thing, but how do we go about that? Racism is a bad thing, but how do we go about handling this? It's either you do it our way or you do it their way. And we clash in the middle. Paul brings a doctrine that brings both parties, political, social, and physical, together in one thing, in Christ. Once he can accomplish that, everything seems to iron out. He says here in Romans 5, he shows the two classes of people today in God's eyes, when God looks at it. He says here in verse 12 of Romans 5, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world." And what does all the world get? Death. No matter how you, what diversity you put in, what racism you worry about, whoever looks for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, guess what? We all die and we're all buried. We all head to the same direction. That's the course. And we're all in Adam. I don't know how you can deny that. We're in that one man Adam that passed upon sin, of one bad decision from one man passed upon all men. That's how God looks at it. Look at Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, hold there Romans 5, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now Paul didn't say, you Democrats, you're all children of disobedience. You Republicans are pretty good. He said, Republicans, Democrats, whatever nationality you are, whatever faith you are, you're all children of disobedience. I think it's an interesting approach of Paul, guys. He brings humanity and just brings it all in one lump. He says, this is how we got to view ourselves. And that's the way he approaches it, all this. So we're children of disobedience. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're all in the same boat. We're all going the same direction in the same boat right here. Look at Romans 2. Look at verse 5. In Romans 2, verse 5. Look at verse 5, in Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient and continuous in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, who do not obey the truth, that obey unrighteous and indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. Boy, that verse 11. That alone, if people just understand that, there is no respecter. I don't care if you're Buddhist. I don't care if you're Christian. And I don't care. You name the denomination. God has no respect for it. There's no respect of persons in this area. And he uses the term who will render to every man according to his deeds in verse 6. So once again, Paul takes the whole of humanity and brings it into one ball. So this is how we got to look at ourselves. He says we need to examine who we are. If we're not trusting in the faith of the burial resurrection of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, you're in this man Adam, and you have a problem. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You're the children of disobedience. You're going to render to your deeds to God. And I know it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you think you are. It doesn't matter what political party you are. What matters is the end result. This life is but a vapor. So that's Paul's thrust in all this. So there's a finale to all this. We need to look at this. And understanding the finale will help this life iron out. It's a road to ironing out this life. We'll go back to Romans 5. He speaks of two Adams. One Adam, the first man on earth, the second Adam, which is of heaven, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses and over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the first figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. So Paul simply says, you know what? The solution to Adam's problem, the solution to racism, the solution to your political problem, all this is all, we're all in one group. He says, it's in Christ. It's where the one Adam will give you freely forgiveness, glorification, sanctification. He'll give you all that. Look at Romans 6, one chapter up. In Christ, now verse 8, for if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now the next word in verse 9 is important. Knowing. The key to all this is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lived, he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in Christ is the solution, the free gift. And the free gift supplies this freedom from a spiritual death. And we live, we said, liken, it says, for verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be a dead deed unto sin, but alive unto God. Reckon it. put it in your mind that we're all in that same boat. We can all be in another boat going a better direction. That is basically the answer. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And it sounds like an old story about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but that is the center core of Paul's message. It's the center and core of the fix for all problems. Because it brings on, we're going to see here in a little bit, it brings on a different mentality. It brings on a different renewed mind concerning those topics that we talked about. Look at Colossians 3. Look at verse 3. Colossians 3, verse 3. For if ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. The end result, once again. The end result. That's what's interesting. You think about all the topics we talked about. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, which is a good thing. Diversity, racism. Often like to ask people, what's the end result of all this? What's the picture that we want to paint? You just get, you know, the little crickets. You know, they're just all silent. And all you hear is crickets. Nobody has an end result. It's just a battle. And it's just tearing us apart. But here, Paul's solution to being in Adam, to being in Christ, has an end result with a happy ending. Now, go back to Romans 6. Let's look at the mechanics of this just a little bit. In Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Now we don't have a whole lot of time to go over what this baptism is, but basically it's not water. It's a type of baptism, and it's a baptism that deals with who you are in Christ, your identity. You are now taking on His identity. We're baptized with Him. We're baptized into Christ. We were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in, what's those last couple words? Newness of life. We got to have a new way here. All these battles we do as a country, there's got to be a new solution. And it's an old solution that's been around for quite a long time. But it's still a new solution to the world. New solution is newness of life. A new way of thinking, a new way of approaching things. And look at verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. We have been, by faith, we have been planted in the likeness of His resurrection. When Christ died, by faith, what? We died. Made it easy, didn't He? What an easy solution that is. In the eyes of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the God, the Creator of all things, says, you by faith, you believe in My Son, I'll consider you in the same likeness and death of my Son. Your sin has been paid for. You're right with Me. Now, verse 6. Knowing, there's that word again, knowing this, that our old man, at old Adam nature, our old man is crucified with Him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The conclusion of the problem. We don't have to serve it. We don't have to worry about racism. We don't have to worry about political differences. We don't have to fall in line with that, because the doctrine will push us to the right direction. It'll push us in a responsibility and moral mode that we make proper decisions in this life. And he says that old man nature is what? Now, here's a warning on that. Does the word destroyed mean non-existence? I see people going like this. I'll give you the example of someone told me one time. If I take a cup that holds water and I crumble it, did I destroy the cup? Can it be used if I put water? Can I put water in it? So the purpose which it once stood for no longer exists. So I destroyed it. It's like a tank going down and destroys another tank. Can it shoot anymore? The purpose for which it was used is no longer useful. So he took our old man nature. He destroyed it. Does our old man nature go away? But does it have anything against us before God? No. It's destroyed, but it's still there. Can it act up? The solution is walk in newness of life. We're going to look at that here in a minute. So we need to get the understanding of who we are, either in Adam or in Christ. Get ourselves in Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Get in favor with God. Be part of that solution. And then learn, put on something new that makes us think different. We no longer worry about who's black or white. We're going to worry about what gender am I. I'm not going to worry about strifing over one political party to another. I'll make the right decision based on that. If everybody in this country would do that, it'd be utopia here. It really would. But we know that's not going to be the case. But at one time, there was enough of that thinking that our forefathers were able to bring a document that established life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We need to get back to that element to solve those problems. Now, look at Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, there's a comparison between the old man nature and the new nature in Christ. There's something that the old man nature does that's so opposite of the new man nature. When I look at all these different groups that are out there fighting against whatever, rioting, and it's really easy to identify who they're walking in. I'm not saying they're not saved, but it's easy to identify who they're allowing to control their life, either what your body is in Adam or who you are in Christ. If you're unsaved, you're just going to be an Adam regardless. But it's easy to identify. In Ephesians 4, let's look at verse 22. Matter of fact, let's get the background. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lascivious, to work all uncleanness with greediness. There's Adam. Boom. There's Adam right there. But he says to the church that's in Christ, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There it is. We need to be renewed in the spirit of a new way of thinking. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in Christ Jesus and true holiness. Therefore, lost my place here. Wherefore, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that still no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might have to give him that needeth. Boy, verse 28 would solve our Social Security problem, wouldn't it? Verse 29, because it's the new man nature. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use the edifying, that it may be minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. What's clamor? A great outcry. A great revolt. He said, that stuff will go away. Evil speaking, bad qualities, untruths, lies. But put away from you with all malice, a disposition to hurt others. Malice is a disposition to hurt others. Do we have that in our political party? Man, senators are getting shot. Oh, man, malice is heavy. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ hath forgiven you. So there's a major contrast between the old man and a new man here. All these other things, the evil speaking, anger, wrath, all these things. Go to Colossians. This is the last verse. In Colossians 3, and we'll end here. In Colossians 3, look at verse 8. But now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Remember I said about, you want to look at society and where they're at in their revolts and their clamor? Look at the deeds. Whether they're saved or not, if they're doing these things, they're walking by the rules of the old man. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on a new way of thinking and knowledge. Wherefore, now look, this is the conclusion here. This is Paul's conclusion, not mine. Wherefore, in light of the contrast of old man, new man, put on, put off. Wherefore, now the thing about verse 10, read it again. Have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is in Christ's image. These things, where there is what? Neither what? There's no physical differences in this issue. Circumcision or uncircumcision. There's no religious differences. Barbarian or Scythian. Now the barbarians are a class of people that are not as cultured. Scythians are a northeast part of Asia where Athens, all that stuff was just high society. Considered high levels of society. There was no social differences. It doesn't matter if you're a barbarian or you're a higher class of society. There's neither bond nor free. There's no political differences. Bond and free will depend on the laws of any region, whether you can be bond or free. So we have the physical differences, the religious differences, social differences, and the political differences. And he says here, and he ends it with, get it in my eyes. Every time I take my face off the page, it goes away. But Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. So the solution is different. I'm sure you've heard the solution before. But as we look at on this Memorial Day, we honor our veterans. We give honor to them for protecting our three elements that we all enjoy, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that we need to get back as we talk with our neighbors. that the solution is not more laws for diversity or racism. We need to get back to the centered Christ issues that our founders were at one time. Not saying we're in complete agreement with all their issues that they had, but they did have a sense of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, which was elements of our mystery that we now hold dear. So keep that in mind, and hopefully some of this will help you be a witness to these guys, and we can get our political differences aside and get back into where we should be, a country that honors our Lord and Savior. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again that we have your Scripture, that we have the infallible Word, that we can read it, and we can view the time that Paul had faced that were much greater than ours, and that the solutions are clear.